This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is the evening edition, and you're listening to our special series on migrant labour issues. Over the next few weeks, we will be exploring the topic from the perspective of policy and economics, taking you through the forgotten victory of a landmark court case and delving into the specific challenges faced by domestic workers. This is episode 5.
BFM 89.9, the business station. Now, welcome to our special series on migrant issues here in the evening edition. I'm Caroline O. Now, all members of the United Nations are under a moral obligation to honour principles outlined by the Declaration of Human Rights. Now, those rights include the right to humane treatment, against arbitrary arrest, detention, slavery, non-discrimination, and the protection of labour rights. But let's not fool ourselves. These rights are violated every day all over the world. And in Malaysia, you'd be hard-pressed to find a larger group for which this has been occurring in than our migrant worker population.
Just last year alone, Tenaga Nita handled 624 cases consisting of 2,407 migrant workers, domestic workers, as well as refugees.
That was Glorine Das, the director of Tenaga Nita, a non-governmental organization that has been championing for the rights of migrant workers since 1991. Immigrants make up around 8.3% of the population. Of the 2.9 or so million legal migrants in Malaysia, foreign labour, especially blue-collar workers, contribute about 10 to 11% of our national economy. For context, that's over half the population of New Zealand. And those are just the legal ones. When you include those who lack documentation, estimates go up to 6.7 million. Last week, a consultant on migrant issues, Kay Shan, hinted at how migrants coming in legally often transition to illegal status. Now today, we speak with Glorine as well as a few other activists who help colour in the details of how this happens.
It comes back to the non-existence of comprehensive policy that clearly spells out on how a migrant worker should be recruited, placed, and employed. Now, employers and recruiting agencies can manipulate the migrant workers. Recruitment is done on ad hoc basis. They are recruited not using the proper procedures or legal channels. They just hire migrant workers who are not documented or those who have run away. In many of our cases, this is the pattern that is being carried out by employers because you're talking about cheap labor. There is no protection, which means the employer can get away with impunity.
The undocumented workers Glorine is referring to are particularly vulnerable and because of this tend to put up with poor treatment and low wages, hence depressing wages all around. Many will likely have entered into Malaysia through legal channel and become undocumented. Now we speak with Sandhya Situla, who works at the Centre for Legal Research and Resource Development in Nepal, who explains how unethical recruitment practices are often to blame.
Talking about recruitment, there is a three-tier process. First, there is a manpower company in Nepal. The last will be the company who wants the person from Nepal to work in that company. That is a Malaysian company. In between these two agencies, there is an agent.
Now, those agents may be registered as companies or individuals and may be Malaysian or Nepali. She goes on to explain how they collect demands from Malaysian companies and then deliver those requests to manpower agencies in Nepal. Those agencies then recruit human resources from different villages and districts. They pass their particulars over to the agencies who then deliver them to employers. However, problems occur when promises made at one end of this chain are not fulfilled at the other end.
So what happens is Nepali who goes through manpower, he have a contract of security guard, but when he reaches to Malaysia and then the agent will think like, okay, no, we are going to send him for another place or for construction because we have a lot of demand from company for construction, they will change that and send that to the company. So very true, like they don't have the similar kind of contract signed here and also in destination place.
By the time a worker has arrived in Malaysia, there isn't much that they can do about it.
The liability is also not borne by the company because the company doesn't make contract by themselves. They do all those kind of things from the agent. So agent need to be made liable. But in situation, the agent are not registered or they are a single person, it's very hard to make them liable for anything.
So you've come to Malaysia at no small expense and then end up stuck in a job that you didn't sign up for. It's no wonder running away often seems like the only way out, which of course leaves the migrants vulnerable because it's common practice for employers to hold on to workers' passports.
They have been promised to work as a salesperson in any kind of departmental store, and when they end up there, they are forced to work as a construction worker. They don't have special training for that, and it's very hot. Those kind of things compel them to run away. And there are a lot of agents who go and meet them and say, like, if you run away from this, I can find you a very good job in next place. And these people, they really doesn't know the consequences of leaving one job without finishing the contract, and then they end up with unidentified agent, and they don't have their legal documents, and they don't have their legal rights, because the next company where they are working, they will be treated as illegal workers. They don't have any kind of rights to bargain for their rights or for their security or for their salary.
In many instances, migrant workers come into Malaysia but find themselves systematically disadvantaged because of our laws. For example, the Immigration Act, it places limits on foreign workers' residence and rights to work. Those found working without a valid entry permit are liable for fines of up to 10,000 ringgit and or imprisonment of up to 5 years and a whipping of not more than 6 strokes.
A lot of people end up being in much more vulnerable condition than they used to be before they ran away from the first place.
Workers, often not speaking the language, are often brought in under a specific permit, but instructed by their agents to work outside its scope. In a bit, we'll be hearing about this from Glorine Das. Stay tuned. This is the Evening Edition on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're listening to our special series on migrants on the Evening Edition. Now we speak with Glorine Das, director of the Naganita, about how migrant workers often find themselves in contravention of the law through no fault of their own. Now the example she brings up relates to plantation workers.
In Malaysia, there is more than 30 outsourcing companies. I think they have reduced it. It used to be more than 300. Now, this started back in 2010, 2009, when small, medium industries were trying to recruit less than 50 migrant workers, right? So they would then give permits to these agencies to recruit migrant workers and then accordingly send them to different sectors. As of now, this particular practice is only in place for plantation workers. However, this is being abused. A lot of migrant workers are being recruited by recruiting agents and labor agencies and then sent to different sectors. However, they are brought in through the plantation visa. If there is a demand for manufacturing, they are sent there.
So the question then is, why aren't the agencies reprimanded? After all, by sending foreign workers who often have no real knowledge of the law to work in sectors other than that which is stated on their work permits, the agencies cause migrant workers to be in contravention of Malaysian laws. Now the answer is simple, according to Glorine.
Because at the end of the day, the person who is accountable is stated in the work permit.
There are other issues directly linked with the use of labour recruitment agencies that put foreign workers at a systematic disadvantage.
The work permit for outsourcing agents is an agent himself. It is not the person or the company that they are being sent. And sometimes, in most cases, they are sent to so many different places to work. Now, who do you hold accountable at the end of the day?
So this is the usual scenario. Workers come in and get sent to various employment agencies. However, the work permits or temporary employment passes usually obtained by the employer are held by the agents, not their actual employers. So when a violation happens, say unpaid wages or an accident occurs at work, seeking redress is fraught with difficulty because the law is unclear on who should be accountable.
We find it very, very difficult to file cases against these employers or perpetrators. It is very clear the Employment Act, it is the person or the employer that you have been working with. But the person or the name or the company that is stated in the work permit is not the person who's paying you the salary at the end of the day. It is the agent that is managing you. Now, this has actually increased labor trafficking of migrant workers. You know, again, we're talking about debt bondage, long hours of work, low wages or cheap labor, basically.
After the news, we'll be looking at how this lack of clarity on who should be liable impacts real-life scenarios on the ground. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, this is the Evening Edition special series on migrant issues. Earlier, we spoke about how a lack of clarity on whether agencies or the end employers of migrant workers are responsible when it comes to disputes such as those involving accidents and other types of violations. It's clearly a loophole that needs to be fixed. In the meantime, accidents continue to occur. Now, one horrific case handled by Tanaganita involved a factory worker named Babul. He was experiencing exhaustion and fell off a ladder whilst doing metal work using a blowtorch. The fall knocked him unconscious, and whilst he lay there, the blowtorch continued to burn his skin off, causing deep damage to his tissues. Prior to the fall, not only was Babul not given a mask, the workplace had provided him with no boots or safety harness, and the damage was brutal. Lying down was painful, and he suffered fourth-degree burns requiring extensive surgery. After exhausting the full amount claimable by insurance for emergency treatment under the Workmen's Compensation Act, more costly surgery was required. Tanaganita picked up his case. Physically unable to sit up straight for more than 5 minutes, they said flying him to his home country of Bangladesh, where medical treatment would be cheaper, just wasn't an option. This is what his caseworker Leva Sridharan had to say about the process of helping him seek compensation to help pay for his treatment and about seeking justice through the Malaysian court system.
Babul did not receive any compensation whatsoever from his employer. All he got was his medical bills paid, but even then, he's still struggling to get donations for his surgery and his other medical needs. Tanaganita tried filing his case in the Kuala Lumpur Labour Department, but we were actually told to go to Johor Bahru to get it filed. And when we asked why, they said it is because this incident happened in Johor. And the other problem with Babul's case and Babul's situation is the fact that he's actually a victim of the outsourcing process. Now, Babul was brought in with a certain work permit, but he was sent by this outsourcing company to work for a completely different company. And in this new company, Babul met with this terrible accident. And so there's this other complication in the labor department as well, because now who should claim responsibility for Babul's injury? Tanaganita is still in the process of handling his case, and we're hoping for the best possible outcome for Babul.
Babul's story raises another crucial issue. Under the law, insurance is mandatory. This is something provided for under the Foreign Workers Compensation Scheme. The compensation scheme itself has been accused of being woefully inadequate. However, despite the fact that insurance premiums are low at just 120 ringgit charged to employers, many recruitment agencies fail to comply. Here's Tanaganita Director Glorine Das once again.
The findings that we have, there aren't any insurance purchased for these workers. There should be. The question is, who purchases it? The agent or is it the employer? Because employer just pays daily wages to the agent, and the agent manages the entire placement and employment of these workers.
The bottom line is that Malaysia has failed to come up with a comprehensive policy on how to process and handle migrant workers. And it is these loopholes in the law that are biting us back. The issue of undocumented migrant workers is something that's constantly highlighted in the media. However, when push comes to shove, it's also our lack of adequate mechanisms for redress and laws that make it difficult to hold employers properly accountable in cases of malpractice that's fueling the growing number of illegal migrants. How urgent is it that we start pushing for a coordinated effort to solve these glaring problems? Glorine says it's really, really urgent. For starters, Malaysia plans on bringing in an additional 1.5 million Bangladeshi workers into the country instead of legalising the huge number of illegal migrant workers already present.
That's the talks that's been going on between Bangladesh government and Malaysian government, apparently to replace the undocumented workers that exist in Malaysia today. They're going to have the undocumented or illegal workers deported.
So wait a minute. It sounds like Laureen is saying that basically we have a system, a value chain, that is taking would-be legal migrant workers, many of whom have come in through recruitment agencies, and churning out undocumented migrants on a regular basis. And now we're hiring more foreign workers to replace the undocumented ones. It's a vicious cycle. Next up, the notorious crackdowns. To what extent are they influenced by media reports about Malaysia's illegal migrant problem? And given the systemic issues in policy and enforcement, what exactly are they meant to achieve? Stay tuned. This is BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, the business station. You're listening to the Evening Edition special series on migrant worker issues. Earlier, we heard the Naganita director, Glorine Das, speak about how inadequate or contradicting policies and exploitative practices mean that most migrant workers entering into the country are systematically disadvantaged, often progressing from legal to undocumented status through no fault of their own. Now we talk about the phenomena of immigration crackdowns. We asked Glorine, to what extent are crackdowns reactions to public opinion? And given that deporting illegal migrants is like bailing water out of a sinking boat, what exactly are crackdowns meant to achieve? Now, one question commonly asked is whether the large-scale import of migrant workers is simply more lucrative. It doesn't help that in July of 2008, the former Director General of Immigration and his deputy were arrested and indicted for graft and corruption involving the acceptance of bribes for issuance of visas for 4,337 Bangladeshi workers.
Again, this is corruption. I'm going back to corruption.
The problem is, crackdowns make it look like migrant workers are all the bad guys.
You know, we used to have lots of news published when there is a crackdown, you know, flesh out of illegals. And it creates a very, very negative image of migrant workers. Now, why is that? Because the government sees them, or in particularly the Home Ministry sees them as a security threat. It is not so. They are the ones who are actually increasing the economy in this country.
That migrant workers are security threats are just one of the many misconceptions held by members of the Malaysian public. No thanks to media reports, which sometimes lack nuance in reporting beyond the headlines. It doesn't help that when crackdowns happen, the image that the public usually gets to see in the newspapers are guys in Rela uniforms standing over scores of workers trying to cover their faces, squatting down on the floor as if they were criminals, which clearly creates an unfairly negative association. The term illegal migrant, used to describe an undocumented worker, in itself is a loaded term. And despite the fact that many migrants become illegal because of the system, the label automatically holds them, not the government, accountable in public eyes.
This is the exact game that the government plays to continue to publish news saying that they are national security threat rather than really looking at the problem, the root problem of why there's such a fiasco, you know, in the whole process of recruitment, placement and employment of migrant workers. And if you look at most of the news these days, right, it's most crimes are committed by this migrant workers. But if you look at the stats last year itself, there's only 7% who are foreigners. They did not precisely say migrant workers. And when we went into Bukit Aman to actually ask for clarification, they said, yes, 7% are foreigners. And many of these foreigners could be traffickers from the African region, fraud, money laundering, you know, drugs. So it is not, you know, entirely migrant workers.
Another recent issue that's arisen in the media is the burden migrant workers place on our healthcare system, as well as the so-called threat of migrant workers bringing in infectious diseases such as TB. But this too is often reported out of context, failing to take into account the hidden costs of poor employer practices.
We should actually look at the living and working conditions of migrant workers. I mean, the real reason why they are sick. We had 349 Nepalese dead bodies sent back last year alone, just last year alone. Why is that? People know about these things. And we are talking about government agencies, employers, all the key stakeholders are aware of such things that's happening to migrant workers. What needs to be in place is enforcement. We have good laws, legislations and policies to tackle this. It is really enforcement. And you have to shift the paradigm of these key stakeholders from commodities, making migrants commodities, from profit-making to a person who has dignity and rights.
Glaureen says it's pretty clear that we need a review of existing policies. Alice Nair is a sociologist at the University of York. She describes the situation as a rights illusion. Now, rights may be codified in international and domestic law. However, contradicting policies, overlapping agency jurisdictions and loopholes in the law mean that in reality, these rights are in practice simply illusions. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.